I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. I never lost my praise. Never lost.
Preach it.
My praise. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. Charles Dickinson, The Tale of Two Cities. I've been reflective a lot lately, mainly between the time of June of this year and all the way up till tomorrow. It was this time last year I was experiencing what Charles Dickinson was talking about. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Charles Dickinson talks about it was the age of wisdom. It's the age of foolishness. My life at this time a year ago was somewhere in between what Charles Dickinson calls the best of times and the worst of times. It was the best of times. I had, for the first time in my life, signed closing documents on a house. It was the worst of times. My wife was preparing to spend 3 weeks in the hospital. It was the best of times. We had a whole drive-through birthday party for her. It was the worst of times. In less than a month, I wouldn't see her for 3 weeks. It was the best of times. Children were getting ready to start back school after thinking that this pandemic was over. It was the worst of times. My wife, for the first time, wouldn't see my son off to his first day of school. It was a crazy experience. August 16th, 2020. I'm preparing to preach in the middle of a series that we started, y'all, on the prayer of Jabez. I'm preaching increase. And I'm living between two truths. I wake up this Sunday morning a year ago, and I wake up to a phone call from my wife that I hadn't seen in 3 weeks telling me today is the day. I didn't think today was the day. I thought they told me it's going to be 2 more months. And I get a call saying today is the day. Hurry, because they don't know when she coming. Hang up with her. Look around the room, figure out what's going on. And I realize it's Sunday morning. Not only are you husband, father, but you pastor. And not only are you pastor, you preacher. So I said, we still got to have church. I go down, go in the office. We virtual. Y'all wasn't looking at me like I was looking at me. Nobody really knew what I had received. Anybody been in a situation that you carrying a weight nobody knows that you carrying? I hope I'm being transparent for a reason. You carrying a weight and everybody looking at you trying to figure out, you know, it just seemed off this morning. You don't know what people go through.
That's right.
I sit down, look over my notes, and say, baby, I'll be there when church is over. I preach. I had to look it up, y'all. What did God give me on a Sunday morning, waking up with that news? Can you handle more? I finished preaching, brushing my kids together to get them to my sister-in-law that has said she would meet me to be able to handle that, get it off of my plate. And as I'm headed to the hospital, I find out her doctor is on vacation this weekend. The only doctor that her doctor trusts is a doctor that we've never met, never had conversation with, didn't know nothing about. Lady walks in the room and talks to us, and my wife is not looking like she's supposed to look. Some ain't right. And I'm looking at them and they looking at me, and y'all, I'm nosy by nature, but it's a bunch of people I play with, but that ain't one. Somebody got to tell me. I pull the doctor aside, talk to her about what's going on. Find out, not only is my wife at a high risk situation, but I find two other things. That my daughter, because of my wife's blood pressure, is shutting my wife's physical system down. No, I'm talking about like the same stuff that older people go through when they get ready to go. Stuff that's supposed to work ain't working right now. Which is why they call me in to hurry. That was the first thing I found out. I told y'all I'm a tale between two cities. The second thing I found out was this is the high-risk doctor in Texas. Y'all missed it. Not only did I find out we're in a real high-risk situation, but then I found out the doctor that you want to be on call is the one I'm talking to. Y'all looking at the blessing of the situation. I don't have to give any more details. I want you to really understand what I'm trying to get you to see, that your story might not be my story.
Yes,
yeah. My pain might not be your pain. The stuff I've went through might be the stuff you went through. But I need somebody in here with me to tell you that I came to tell some people that I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through. But when we meet Jesus at the tomb of his best friend, he decides that some stuff has got to change. Anybody besides me understand that sometimes the victory that you've claimed in your life is not always about having your hand raised telling that you won, but the victory that I came to claim today is that I'm still here. I know we ain't been able to shout, we ain't been able to dance, we ain't been able to give God all the, but anybody besides me took a moment to tell God thank you because you're still here. No. You survived everything. You survived everything you've been through. You've survived every rumor. You've survived every bad day, every breakup, every disappointment, every unemployment, every lie, every negative balance. See, I need two or three people that'll just high five your neighbor and say, I'm still here. Yeah, guess what? He woke me up this morning. That means he not through with me yet. I'm still here. See, where we meet this Lazarus at in the tomb, he's dead. The Bible says he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus tells them, come up to the room. He shows up to the funeral late. He shows up to the funeral and they move the stone in the front of the door. And Jesus on the way, he can't even get to the tomb because the sisters run up and tell him, if you had have been here, he wouldn't have been dead. He wouldn't have died if he... See anybody? See, I need y'all to walk with me through this text because I need somebody that's going to be with me to understand that every now and then I've had some situations where I've had to tell God, if you had a king, I'm preaching and got pain. I'm teaching and having to pray with people through text message and phone calls because they got a virus that if I go close to them and lay hands on them, I will be sick and afflicted with the same thing. I'm going through.
Talk
about it. You take my grandmother from me in the middle of a month. I'm preaching about mental health.
My God.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Never got so much sleep until COVID came. But I've never had so many sleepless nights until COVID.
My God. Yes.
You never know who you need until you can't get around nobody.
Yeah, that's it right there.
We meet Jesus. He's at the tomb. Our verse has just passed. Y'all know our verse. I didn't read it. It's in 11 and 35. It's our verse. It's the verse we had at Grandma's house when you got to say your blessing first. Before you can start grabbing chicken off the plate. Because it was the first one you go to because it was the shortest one they had. Because you had to have a verse. Before you could start snatching chicken off the plate.
Yeah.
It was that Jesus wept. Y'all watch this, y'all. I want you to understand this. Can I walk y'all through this text? I want you to walk with me through this text. It's three things. I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna try to shorten it up because I got a lot on me. The first thing that I realize about this, never losing your praise, is the first thing. How do you keep it all together? How do you keep it all together? First thing you got to do is you have to acknowledge the reality of your situation. It's right here in the text. Verse 34, Jesus asks this question, where have you laid him? Y'all missed it. He showed up to resurrect. He showed up to get him up. He showed up to change the situation. But you got to at least acknowledge that the situation ain't good. Verse 34, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35, this is the first time that he realized and acknowledged verbally that Lazarus was dead. Every time before this, he says, he just sleep.
My goodness.
Understand this, that the old saints used to say that they sleeping in the very image of death. What did that mean? That the only difference between sleep and death is one you don't wake up from on this side.
My God.
Says he's asleep. He's going to get up. Say, yes, Lord. We believe you are the Messiah. We're going to see him in a great get in the morning, but what about on this side?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus says, where have you laid him? It seems oxymoronic. It seems crazy. It seems dumb. It seems like we serve a crazy God, because this same God that says, let me see where you laid him, is the same God the verse later says, Jesus wept.
My God.
Jesus, why would you weep? I've always thought about this out of context, because I thought he wept because he died, but he was dead before he got done. I thought he wept because he wasn't going to get him up, but that wasn't the truth. He knew what was going to happen before he got there. Why would you weep?
Why
are you crying? Jesus. Now, I understand when some of y'all cry because it don't take much for you. But Jesus, if you... Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me today. Because everybody want to have some strong people beside them. But what do you do when the strong people got to be weak? Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me today. I'm fine with showing up and Mary and Martha are breaking down and crying because that brother have been laid to rest. But when Jesus started dropping tears, I got to ask some questions. He is dead. Period. That's it. That's all, folks. That's all she wrote. It's done. It's over. The story has been completed. Lazarus is dead.
Yeah.
How dead was Lazarus? I'm talking about some dead situations in your life that you tried to give up on, that you felt like it shouldn't have been over, but God said, give it another try. You said, no, it's dead, God. It's not gonna make it. It's not. I've had all I can have. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm worried, and I'm worried about worrying. I'm hurting, and I'm hurting for hurting. I, I've been down so long. Y'all don't understand me. That getting up don't even cross my mind no more. Anybody besides me have had so much issues and troubles and trials at a time in your life that you just called the devil and asked him for a ceasefire? Just stop for a minute. Just, can you let me gather my bearings again? Let me get myself together. I know you're going to do what you're going to do, but doggone it, just let me breathe for a minute. Can I have one good day? And Jesus, with everything going on in his life, Jesus wept. Real men don't cry. I don't know one harder than him. We have to acknowledge the death of the situation, that it is over. Can I press on it a little bit, y'all? That the appearance of your faith, of your failure, always will draw a crowd. He showed up talking about sleep. They have a morning boy.
Jesus.
Because there's always somebody to show up. To help you in something that you ain't ready to throw in the towel yet for.
My.
I tell people all the time, watch when you give advice to somebody that ain't through yet. And telling them how to start over.
Jesus.
Because they'll get back what they boo that made them boo-hoo. And leave you on the outside the door.
Yep.
Because you don't know what we went through. Oh, I need two or three people that'll say, God, I don't know why they think I'm going to doubt you. I know too much about you. God, I've been with you. You've walked with me. You've walked with me when I couldn't walk by myself. I've seen what footprints in the sand was really about when I thought you left me, but God, you was carrying me. God, you picked me up and put me on your back because I couldn't go no further, y'all. I know he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I wasn't scared, but I couldn't go no more. Anybody besides me had the enemy come and take and take and take, and you just sitting there after a while just trying to guess what you're coming after next. It's just, you have to acknowledge the reality of your situation. Yeah. More people will be confirming what you know than will be walking with you to see what you believe.
Yeah.
I said again, for the two or three people that's used to people without faith in your life, there's a lot of folks that are sure to confirm what you know. Very few people will be walking with you in agreements with what you believe. It's a whole lot of people saying, he dead. Come on, y'all. He fought a good fight. He finished the course. Yeah, I understand you had a business and it didn't work out. You did good. You can just try something else. I ain't through yet.
Not through.
I seen something in there.
Mm. Yeah.
If that was my child, I'd have gave up on him too. I ain't gave up yet.
My God.
I fought too hard to get him here.
Yeah.
See, some people will give up on your stuff faster than you because they don't know the cost you paid.
Come on.
I never lost my prayers. But why would you title this message just in your first point? Can I help you out? Is that some of us struggle because we've lost so much. We've let the devil take a list of stuff. But 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 gives us a list to start you off with, a list of stuff you shouldn't let the enemy take it. Says now abide, now remains, now stays, now is your refuge, now is covered. It's these three things, but you don't let him take these things. Watch this, y'all. Don't let him take these. Why wouldn't you let him take them? Because no matter what else he took, if you keep these, you'll always be able to get that back. Now abide, faith, hope, and love. Watch this, y'all.
Because if you got faith, you got some praise. If you got hope, you got something to praise him for. If you got love, you know who you giving the praises to. Y'all missed it. Can I turn around and bring it again? If you got faith, you know who you have praise for. If you have hope, you know what you're hoping and praising that you're going to get. And if you have love, then you know who gets all that praise. Why didn't I ever lose my praise? Because I never, ever, ever put it on the table to be taken.
That's right.
My God.
That's my right. Father.
It's any spades players in the room?
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
Every now and then, you let the people across the table from you talk noise. You let them have they say. You let them be cocky about it. You sit. You went 4 and all you got is 3. And you just sitting there. And you looking at them, and they keep getting books after books. And they thought they had it, and they just keep on grabbing. And when they put the last one on the table, y'all, it's always the wrong people to sit at the table with you. They get cocky about it. They get arrogant, and they start to reach before you play. And you have to tell them, put it back, because I had something for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You thought you had it all.
Yeah.
But I kept one.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to shout with me. See, every now and then you got to look at the devil in the face and say, you thought you had it, but get your hand off my stuff.
Yeah.
I made mine. See, you ain't got to shout about winning, but the game ain't over. I ain't under. You,
come on now.
Boy, if I was in a packed church, I'd say high five your neighbor and say, we ain't going blind next hand. We ain't going blind. We ain't going blind. Huh? I come against the going blind. I won't be under.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here. My time over. First thing you got to do is acknowledge the reality of your situation. Second thing you got to do is speak to your situation.
Come on.
Take away that stone. Did I not tell you if you believe you will see the glory? Verse 43. He stands in front of a dead situation with people behind him with an unbelieving spirit. And he speaks to somebody that shouldn't be able to hear it. But doesn't only call his name, but gives him a command.
Yeah.
Y'all missed it. I'm sick of people that just want you to call their name, but they ain't doing nothing. I ain't speaking to folks and energizing people that ain't got no command to do nothing. Taj, I'm sick of do nothing people around me. I would rather you go backwards or forward. Don't sit still on me. Don't do nothing. I'm not calling Lazarus. I'm telling you, Lazarus, come on out of there. I'm tired of you being in that situation. It's time for you to change. Lazarus, come forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on out. Come on out of there. This is a word for 2 or 3 people that felt like you shouldn't have to go get some people from some places you've had to go get them from, so you wrote them off. Jesus says you better go in there and stand in the front of the door and tell them to come out.
Yeah.
Woo. Come out of that issue. Come out of that situation. Come out. That's what I can I say it again? It just came off my tongue just like that. Come out of that situation. I don't care what the situation is. Come out of it. I don't want nobody that been in that situation. Well, you might want to understand. If Jesus can go get Lazarus out of the dead, you can sure go get somebody out of some stuff. See, some of us have stayed in bad situations because you refuse to speak to it. Confession is good for the soul. Confession is really good because you have to understand that God shows us what confession really is. God starts speaking some stuff. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Earth was out form. God said, let there be light. And there was. Light didn't show up until he said. Y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all missed me. Let me pause, rewind, bring back again a second time. Some of the stuff that you ain't got in your life, you try to figure out why darkness is still over the face of your situation is because you hadn't spoke and said, let there be.
My God.
Yes.
You better walk around your house and say, let it be peace.
Yes. Come on.
Lying spirit, you got to move.
I got it.
Right. Yes.
Cheating spirit, you got to get out of here. See, some of us need to learn to speak into some stuff and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm sick of speaking to God about this situation. I'm going to start speaking to the situation about the situation. Lazarus, come forth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You better learn to speak to some stuff.
Yeah.
Watch this, y'all. There's no need in talking about what you know until you can speak about what you're starting to expect. Stands at the tomb. They didn't move the rock out of the way. And I have to understand this, y'all, that at the time, tombs that were in caves were filled with multiple people. I'm trying not to be Baptist today, Taj. I'm trying my best. I feel it though. That if you'd have hollered out, just come out. All of the graves in Jerusalem would have opened up. So much is in the power of your speaking. You better be specific in what you're asking God for, because if you start asking God to get this stuff out of your life, you don't know what to leave, but you better learn how to speak some. See, what I had to realize was I asked God to give me some real friends, and the ones I thought I had, Taj left.
My fault.
You better learn to speak to your situation. I'm getting out of here. See, you have to be willing to look like a fool until others can see what you envisioned. Watch this, y'all. Can I help you? God will draw the crowd to see them put him in the tomb. Only, and they think they showed up for the funeral, not knowing they really showed up to see a miracle.
My God.
They showed up because God had something in store. Don't matter what they came for. First Lady preached this the other week. Give them something to talk about.
Give them something. Please.
Can I steal another one of your sermon titles? You better counsel a funeral.
Come on now.
You decided to live. You better learn to.
Yes.
Okay. Can I give it to y'all a different way? Sometimes you're trying to figure out why God sent you through the stuff you're going through. It's literally so other people can see how you came out of it. Can I jump over? If you still got your Bibles open, in John 12. He says that they sitting down eating, and Jesus was in honor because when they healed him, when Jesus got him out of the tomb, they went and had some dinner. He was hungry. He ain't eaten 4 days. He was dead, but he ain't eaten 4 days.
My God.
Chapter 12, verse 2. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while, watch this, Lazarus was among those reclining at the table.
Reclining.
Come on.
Another gospel writer says, Lazarus, which was dead, is at the table. I don't want you to think it's a different Lazarus. Put anything you want there. Boo that was dead. Love that was dead. Finances that was dead. Job that was dead. Peace that was dead. Joy. See, some of us ain't struggling with the lack of peace. Some of us struggling with the lack of joy. You got peace, but you're scared to be happy. Oh, I need somebody that's being willing to be transparent. You scared that if you get too happy, then they're going to pull a rug from under you. You need to learn how to just enjoy what you... Why? Because Lazarus that was dead, that situation that didn't want to work out, it's going to turn. Why did it turn? Because you came to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come on out of there.
Come on now, Jesus.
It's time for us to show these folks what's really going on. Lazarus.
Yeah.
Come on. Watch this. Can I bless you? Verse 44. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with stripes of linen and cloth around his face. He was laying down in the tomb, tied up, because that's what they did. He had all these spices and stuff around him. Keep his body from stinking during the funeral.
My My God.
Man, put all this perfume on him. Not that stuff we got. But I'm talking about pure perfume. Mm-hmm. Same kind of perfume that Mary broke on the feet of Jesus. Got mad and said, this could have been sold. They had put their good stuff on it because some people don't mind sparing expenses as long as they think it's over.
My God.
And Jesus spoke and said, Lazarus, come out of that. And Taji couldn't walk. Because he fooled around and let the people that gave up on him tie him up.
My God.
Just come on. Come on, it happened. And you was thinking you were going to get out of that situation fast. And you thought you had fought all that you could fight. And the problem is that you spoke to it and it didn't show up right then. So not only do you have to acknowledge your situation, not only do you have to speak to your situation, but you got to expect the situation to change.
Yes.
Until it show up, you just stand there.
Yes.
And a little light hit him, and Jesus spoke again. Watch this, y'all. He didn't speak until they saw him.
My God.
He ain't say nothing again until he saw him show up. And when he saw him show up, he said, take that stuff off of him.
Yeah.
Oh, can I help two or three people? I'm headed to my seat. Because some of us struggle because you walking around in grave clothes, tied up, acting like you in a situation that he didn't already got you out of. It looks good when you were in there, but you ain't in there no more. Quit acting like you still dead. Quit having dead mindsets and dead joy and dead peace and dead suffering. You ought to get to a situation when you get out of the door and you ought to say, take this off of me, because I can't shout with this tying me up. I can't celebrate with this tying me up. Why? Because I expected my situation to change. Anybody understands that you got to have an expecting spirit? That you show up. I'm tired of people that ask God for stuff but don't look for nothing. You when you start asking, you ought to start looking. See, the story is told in the Bible where they were praying and Paul was in jail and the people in the church were praying and they was praying so hard that Paul started knocking at the door, and when they opened the door and saw somebody that looked like him, they closed the door in his face and went back to praying. Because the problem was that they had enough faith to pray but not enough faith to expect God to do something about it. You ought to expect something to happen. God always works with an expecting spirit. If Lazarus would have came forth, y'all, they would have still had the rock in the way. And sometimes I shake and shudder from the thought of how much stuff I left behind the rock because I didn't say a word.
Oh my God.
How much stuff God resurrected, resuscitated in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't have enough faith to tell somebody he gonna do it again.
Oh my God.
Y'all, can I help you? Because this is what helped me the most about this whole text. It was really in the fact that I understood the reality of what happened. There's two different ways he gets you up. It's a medical term, and there's a biblical understanding. The biblical understanding is resurrection.
My God.
Medical definition, resuscitation. Resuscitation is when you were alive, you died, they brought you back. Resurrection is you was alive, you died, and they brought you back. What's the difference between the two? Resurrection doesn't end in death again.
Yes, my God. Okay.
Resuscitation, you're going to die again. Some of us struggle because we've demanded God to only resurrect stuff in our life. When God says, you ain't shouted about the stuff that I brought back. It might die again, but you're gonna get some stuff out of it that you didn't think you was gonna get.
Yes.
See, some of us didn't lose our praise, but some of us are struggling because you never tapped into it because you were scared of praise. You were scared to thank God for the stuff that he left you with. You were clear about the stuff he took. You knew how to be angry. I'm working on a book right now called Real Men Cry. And one of the things I'm realizing is that we raise boys to be able to show nothing but anger.
My God.
Because we've beat, we've accused, we've taunted every other emotion out of them besides anger. Because we taught them that when they cried and talked through their emotions, that was girly. Men don't do that. And we've taught them all of this stuff. And I was trying to figure out, God, why would you give me the clarity to see what you're talking about? But what he showed me, y'all, can I tell y'all what he showed me?
Yeah.
What he showed me was what we were doing to our boys is the same thing we did to our spirit. Every time you got mad, we quenched the spirit. Every time you had a question, we quenched the spirit. Every time we had something to talk about, we quenched the spirit. Every time that it didn't work out, they said giving that offering and you gave and now you ain't got no lunch money. Then you knew how to suppress that spirit. But when it was time for the blessing to show up, you all of a sudden shouting about your cousin them that told you about it. But you don't know who put you on their mind. Y'all don't want to talk to me today. The same folks that's talking about they got God and ain't scared of no viruses. The same ones you ask them what they tithing to, they say they don't need the church.
My God. For real. Mm-hmm. My God.
It's mic one. Is mic one on?
It's on.
Okay. See, some of us need to understand that when God gets ready to give and take, that there's some stuff you have to appreciate about the process. Three things. Wife, you can come on. You have to acknowledge the reality of your situation. You got to speak to your situation. You have to expect change from your situation. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you got going on or what's in your mind, your heart, your soul.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you today, don't lose your praise. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your hollow.
Come on now.
They don't take all of that. They don't take that for you. I've always been leery of people that will limit your shout, but then will let you cry for days.
My God.
People that will come in and talk to you about how you should and shouldn't. You know, you go to that church every week, but nobody told you you was in the club too much.
My God. Yeah. My God.
Nobody walked up to you giving in that seed offering again. Nobody said, we don't need this Bible. They ready to go home, but ready to go for another round. Church too long.
My God.
You don't go to the club to 10? Yeah. 11.
Yeah.
Y'all don't want to talk to me.
It's all the truth.
You come to church any kind of way. Anyway, ain't going nowhere. I got to dress up like they dress up. You go to the club, you got to have something new. Church too long. You ain't get home till 3:00.
That's a word. It is.
Because you left there and went to Waffle House.
Aha,
Dennis. Because you couldn't drive that far because you put too much in your system. Ain't nobody been overloaded when you...
Come on, Pastor. All right.
Everybody that want to go with you when you're crying. Don't nobody want to come and celebrate with you.
Man.
Funerals packed, birthday party empty. I hadn't talked to him in a couple of months. What you doing here? I never lost my praise, y'all. See, I need some people that's going to rock with me.
All right.
And what I realized, y'all, I told my wife I was playing when I told her, but it was had been on my spirit because God had given me an analogy about it. I told her I wanted a motorcycle. All right. I don't want one. I'm scared. don't fall for it. But I did tell her I wanted one. But y'all, this is what blessed me about the motorcycle. When you're on the motorcycle with somebody, I read up on it because I was thinking about it for a quick minute. I research everything. Pray for
me.
I was when you when you're on the motorcycle, it's the straightaways they speed up on. Straightaways you act a fool on. No unless it's a condition in the road, has trouble on the straightaways. But if you with me, when we get in the curve, when I lean, you got to lean.
Okay.
I don't need you sitting straight up and we trying to get through this curve. We asking for membership, we asking for dedication, invitation, and she's gonna come and do that. But we ain't looking for people that want folks to ride with them in the straightaway.
Yes. Come on.
Jesse, we got the straightaways. Vision gave us the straightaway.
Yes.
I need somebody that needs somebody to rock with them in the curves of life.
Yeah.
When the devil starts snatching, they can lean with you. See, the enemy will make you think you're by yourself.
My God. Yes.
Make you think ain't nobody with you. Ain't nobody gonna hold you down. Ain't nobody gonna keep you. But listen.
My God.
I'll never leave you.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Well, I see it on Facebook. I don't have to go to the building to be in church. But the church is a body of believers.
It's a body.
That's what it is. That's
and if you're the smartest person there, you probably should get somebody.
Yeah.
Oh my Jesus.
Cause y'all, I had some people that had been with me through the curves. Ooh, they didn't know I was in the curves, Andre. They thought I was in a straightaway. That's all right, but let me call and check on them. Right there.
In the curves.
Preaching.
Yes.
In the curves. I looked, baby, I looked. 16, we were doing Can You Handle More? That night, less than 12 hours later, we had a daughter. Tuesday night, we were still in the hospital. I'm doing Bible study from the hospital, bro.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Preachers asking, Pastor, won't you let somebody else do that for you? But see, if I can't show you that I can keep going in the middle of some stuff, how am I gonna ask you to do it? My pastor would have had somebody else with me. He ain't gonna walk with you through the curve.
My God.
And what I tell him, you sitting at the table with some people that ask me, well, why would you keep doing it? They was helping me as much as I was helping.
Yeah.
My God.
I'm saying, I'm speaking some stuff by faith. It's going to be all right. I don't know. And I look in the comments, y'all. Yes, it is, Pastor. First Lady's coming through our invitation. But I don't want you to think that we're just offering somebody that's looking for you to be the straightaway. When you need somebody to lean with you in the curve. Ain't always straight away. I say some stuff I shouldn't say, like going places I should not go. But I tell you this, it ain't one that can say, cause ain't nobody, not a one can say, he was faint with me. I called him to pray with me. He was too busy. It ain't nobody that can say I needed him and he wasn't now. They can say I ain't called him and he ain't know I was going through it. He fussed at me when he found out and I ain't the one that told him. Because I don't think nobody ought to be in that curve. They was calling me left and right. Right. We talked about it a couple of days ago. Well, that COVID hit this church so fast, seemed like every day I'd wake up to it. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. It got to the point, she said, you all right? I said, it's just a lie. I'm just going to lay here and pray for a while. I ain't messed up. I'm as real as the rest of y'all. But see, because he's giving me coverage over this, you can't be hurting and I'm good.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I just don't call and text y'all as much as you on my mind because I don't want to be a bugaboo. But she hear it. Baby, when the last time you talked to me? I hit them every week, baby. Just hit them this week so they don't think I'm... It ain't about attendance. I don't care what you got going on with that.
Yeah.
But if you say we go together, I want to make sure you good.
Come on now.
Come on now.
You need to stop. I'm